All right, I'm going to get into a message this morning. You know, I've been doing, for the last 17 weeks, standalone messages. Normally, if you've been here the whole time since we've been the pastors, 9 years, we've been doing series, usually three, four, or five-week series. And so the Lord just laid it on our hearts to take 1 week at a time and just do standalone messages. But you'll notice that the graphic today is the same as last week. If you were here last week, I did a message called Take It Easy, and it was about allowing Jesus to take that heavy burden of the law off of our backs. And you'll see the same graphic because it's really, this is kind of part two of that message. It was such a long message, and I couldn't get to the second part of it. And you know, nobody packed a sandwich. So how many had breakfast this morning? Anybody have breakfast this morning here at the river? The breakfast. How many had biscuits and gravy? Anybody have biscuits and gravy? Man, I got there early. As soon as they opened up, I had me some biscuits and gravy. It was so good. It's so good. Thank you, Bruce, for cooking today. Did a good job today. Yeah, we got a lot of great cooks. Christina cooked last week and Bruce this week. And so thank you, Lord, for breakfast at the river. Amen. Okay, so I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I was going to tell you what chapter and not the book. Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're going to be today for a few minutes, and then I'm going to go to chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11, as you're turning there, I want you to know also we have the notes on YouVersion today, so if you want to look along there on the app. But Hebrews chapter 11 has been called the faith chapter. Most people know it as the faith chapter. Scholars, biblical scholars, call it the faith chapter. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it lists many of the biblical heroes of faith. It's almost called the Hall of Fame of Faith, is what it's really referred to. It shows what living faith looks like and what it will produce in our lives. If we read through Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read a portion of it here this morning. It's one of the most memorable chapters in the Bible. It gives us memorable summaries of Old Testament heroes of faith, and it shows us what these men and women did that so pleased God in their lives. Something I think you should know, though, before we get into looking at this, is that not everything that these heroes of faith did pleased God. How many of you know that? Not everything they did pleased God. They did a lot of things that pleased God, but the greatest thing that they did that pleased God was they had faith. Amen? But there were a lot of things that these heroes of faith did not please God. And you need to know that, because some of these heroes of faith that Hebrews 11 talks about, some of them at one time in their lives were adulterers. Some of them plotted and schemed. Some of them were deceivers and liars. Some of them were prostitutes. Right? Some of them even committed murder. So I think we need to pause for a second and remember that and understand that. A lot of times we talk about heroes of faith in the Bible. We talk about these great men and women of God that we read about in this word every day that we're reading it, and we talk about them like they were perfect and like they never made any mistakes and like their lives were so good and they were so easy and God was just with them all the time and they never had any stumbling blocks. But that's not true. They were men and women just like we are. And they went through life just like we do. They had their difficulties, they had their trials, they had the storms of life that came against them, and they had sin in their lives at times, and they went through things, and they did things. And in fact, I don't think there's probably a person in this place that did some of the things that these people did, that some of them did. So we need to understand that even though they're heroes of faith, they also went through life just like we do. And I think it's important for us to understand this, because even though they sinned, they repented and continued to pursue God. And because they continued to pursue God, refusing to turn away from the faith, God used them in a mighty way. And He can do the same thing in your life today. He can use you and he can use me just like he did Moses and just like he did David and just like he did Rahab and just like he did Esther and just like he did Sarah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the rest. God can use you and me the same way. And he wants to. They pressed on because they had faith. So I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. Just start in verse 33. Let's look there for a moment. And it says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from the dead. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet not one of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Amen. I just want to say that again. So that they would not receive perfection or reach perfection without us. God had something better in mind. How many of you know God has something better in mind for you? He has something better in mind for you. No matter where you are in your journey right now today, God has something better in mind for you. You may think you're at the very bottom, but God has something better in mind. You may think you're at the very top, but God has something better in mind. It doesn't matter where you're at on this journey on this earth, God has something better in mind. And we need to remember that, because sometimes we think that when we're at the top and when things are going well and everything is going well in our lives and smooth and everything just looks great, we think, wow, it can't get any better than this. Yes, it can. God has something better in mind. And I think if we remember that when we're on the mountaintop, it's a lot easier to remember that when we're in their valley. God has something better in mind. So these people of faith, these great men and women of faith, these heroes of faith, they journeyed along life just like we are. And they experienced the same things we are. These people were not completely sinless throughout their lives. These people didn't always have it all together. These people were a mess at times. How many of you, sometimes you just felt like you were a mess? Your life was a mess. Everything was a mess, falling apart around you. They were a mess at times. They felt the same way many times. These people were a mess. Just read about their journeys. Read about what happened in their lives. Look at Moses, for example. Moses, who spent 40 years in the palace, but then he spent 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the palace and then 40 years as a shepherd. And what was the marking line there? After the 40 years in the palace, he committed murder and then spent 40 years in the desert. But God came to Moses. At the end of that 40 years in the desert, God came to him in the form of a burning bush, and God spoke to him. He said, Moses, I'm not finished with you. I've got something to use you for. I've got a great work for you. Let me just say this. Is there anybody in this place that's 80 years old or older? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're 80 or older. Put your hand down. Put your hand. Okay. Raise it up high. Be proud. Be proud. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6? 6 or 7 people in here that are 80 or older. Bill Forbes, put your hand up. You know you're 120. Oldest man in the room. God, I want to say this to you, whether you're 80, 70, or 7, God's not finished with you yet. If you're still breathing, God has a work for you. God's plan is still yes and amen. His promises are still yes and amen. He has a work for you. And he can still speak to you today, just like he did Moses back in those days. He wants to. There's one thing about these people that they all had in common in their journeys here on this earth. What's that one thing? They had faith. they had great faith. They trusted the Lord. So with that that understanding, I want us to see something. Let's go to our passage for today. And we read Hebrews chapter 11, but Hebrews 12 is what I really want to look at. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. And it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." Amen. See, Jesus has called us to run a race. That's what this journey is. It's to run a race. This race starts at the cross and it ends at the crown. Amen. It's from cross to crown. The beginning is the cross. The cross isn't the end. The cross is the beginning. Somebody say it's the beginning. The cross is the beginning of the race. The crown is the end of the race. From cross to crown, God has called us to run a race. It's a long-distance race. It's a multi-terrain race. How many of you know it's multi-terrain? How many of you know sometimes there's valleys and sometimes there's mountains? Sometimes there's smooth paths and sometimes there's rocky places in our lives. It's a race that has a lot of difficulty. It's an endurance race. You have to understand that, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I played sports, and I loved football. It was my favorite sport. I loved baseball. I liked basketball, but I was too short. And so I loved all the sports, but the one thing I could not stand was cross-country running, long-distance running. How many are with me? They just can't stand that. I couldn't stand. If you're runners, raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand if you're runners. You love it. Come on, you know your runners are proud. Shout it out. Woo! Proud, yeah. My brother Matt, he loves to run. He loves to run. He just runs and runs and runs. He keeps running and running and running and running and running. I'm like, "Run, Forrest. I mean, Matt, run." But I hate it. Like, I like running short distances. That's it. Like, from here to there. That's it. That was it. That was my run. Right then, I run right back like that. That's an old man run. That's a Bill Forbes run. That's it. I don't like to run long distances, but this journey of life, this race from cross to crown that God has called us on, it's a long distance race. At least we hope it's long distance, right? We want to journey with the Lord and we want to run this race. And so we've been trying to run, but many of us are wondering, why is this so hard? Why is this so hard to run? Why do I get winded so quickly? Do you ever feel that way? Why do I get winded so quickly? Why are others running at a faster pace than me? Anybody ever feel that way as a Christian? You're looking at other Christians and they just seem to be zipping along and you're like, why is that happening? Why does it seem like they're just zipping right past me? What's wrong with me? I mean, I don't know if you, I'm just writing down questions that I've asked myself before. Maybe you didn't ask these questions. But I'm running this journey, I'm running this race with Jesus, and I'm just like, why is this so hard? Why am I winded? Why am I so out of shape? Why did I eat that next Twinkie? Why? How many of you know I like Twinkies, huh? Talk about them all the time. Twinkies are good. Chocolate-covered Twinkies are better. I wonder, could it be that we've been trying to run while we're carrying things that slow us down? Could it be that we're trying to run this race and it's wearing us out and leaving us with no strength to continue because we're carrying things that we weren't meant to carry? We're carrying things that God never told us to carry. I mean, this is an endurance race. It's hard enough to run an endurance race when you're running light. I don't know about you, but I don't need any more weight than the weight I got on this body. It's hard enough to carry this in a race, let alone carry other things in a race. It can even be impossible if we don't understand that we're picking up things. We're picking up things and lugging them around that we weren't meant to carry. Competitive long-distance runners, one of the things I know about this in talking to many long-distance runners, these competitive long-distance runners, one of the things that they do is they get rid of any excess weight. They get rid of anything that would slow them down. They even buy special clothes and shoes and all of these things that streamline their running. I mean, they don't want anything to hinder them as they're running this long-distance race. I know a few runners here that attend our church and that are members of our church that run marathons. I mean, they go to Boston and run in the marathon, and New York, and they're running these big marathons. I mean, they're good runners. And one of the things they do is they make sure that not only are they not carrying any extra weight, but that their clothes are perfectly fitted just right so that they're not hindering them along the race. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever try to bend down and tie your shoe, but your pants were a little too tight? It's like, hold on a second. There, that's better, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like, or is that just me? And I'm not... Okay. The point is they get rid of anything that's going to hinder them. They don't go out before a long-distance race, before they're about to compete in a race. They don't go out and go, let's see how many clothes I can put on. Wouldn't that be fun? Let me see how many layers of pants I can get on before I run this race. Let me see how much luggage I can carry with me. I just want to run this race with as much baggage as possible. They want to get rid of everything. So with that in mind, let's pay close attention to this passage of Scripture. Because there's something very important in this passage of Scripture that I think we miss a lot of times. See, we all know, how many of you know that sin will impede our progress on this journey? How many of you know that? Sin will impede our progress. In fact, it will completely stop us in our tracks, right? If we get saved here at the cross, we get saved, and we're starting this race with Jesus. If sin comes in our lives, this scripture clearly says that it trips us up and entangles us and trips us up, and we know that. But there's something else in this scripture that we miss a lot of times. We just pass right over it, and we don't understand that God's trying to speak to us here. So let's look at it. Let's look at it again. Hebrews 12:1. It says this. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Now watch. Is that what it says? Can you pop that up there for me? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Okay, what's after down? Comma. It's called punctuation, people. Comma. Comma. Everybody say comma. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Comma. What's that mean? Something else is coming, right? Every weight that slows us down, comma, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Many times we read this scripture as weight and sin are the same thing, and that's not what God was saying. Do you know there can be weights that we're carrying in our lives that aren't sin, but we weren't supposed to be carrying them? We shouldn't have them in our lives, in other words. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, comma, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I'm going to talk about the sin that so easily trips us up next week. But today, I want to talk about the weight that slows us down. There are weights that we can pick up that will slow us down. Sometimes we pick up things along the way on this journey with Jesus from cross to crown, and they slow us down, and God didn't say pick that up, but we pick it up anyway. And we start taking it on the journey with us, not understanding that these very weights slow us down, impede our progress. And we ask these questions, why am I so winded? Why am I so tired? Why is this such a struggle? Why am I having such a hard time? I'm going to show you a few things. So let's just get into this, show you a few things. So we're starting on this journey at the cross, and we start along on this journey, and we're running this race. In fact, the scriptures say, you were running this race so well. You know what I'm talking about? You're running this race so well. Who has impeded your progress? And you're running so good, and then all of a sudden you come along, and there's decisions we make in our lives, and things come into our lives, And so we have to make a choice. God, is this what you want for me? Is this for my life? Is this what you want me to pick up or not? And so we come to this first one, and I look at it and I go, this is interesting. What is this? Oh, this is a relationship. So we take a relationship that maybe God didn't tell us to get involved in. Now hold on. I'm not talking about sinful things, because that's after this. But this is a relationship. Do you know there can be relationships that you're involved in that aren't sinful, but God didn't tell you to get involved in them? Hello? I'm talking friendships, romantic relationships. I'm talking, you can be in a romantic relationship, because a lot of times all we're looking for is, you know, am I sin-free? I'm in this romantic relationship. I don't want to commit sin, right? Hello, anybody? I hope you don't want to commit sin, right? No sin in this relationship. I'm in a romantic relationship, no fornication. Okay, none of that, right? Keep that out of the relationship. I got to stay sin-free in this relationship, and that's all we're keeping our eyes on. Here's the question. Did you ask God if you're supposed to be in this relationship? Because if you didn't ask God, and if this is not the relationship for you, you just picked up a weight. Let's just say it doesn't have wheels. You just picked up a weight. And now you're carrying this relationship around. The reason I have a rope is because, you know, three cords bound together are not easily broken, right? Relationships, binding us together. So now we got this weight that we're carrying along, this relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be a business partner. Hello? You know the scripture, do not become unequally yoked. It could be a business partner. It could be something like that that you didn't ask God about. He didn't say pick up that relationship, but we picked it up anyway. And we're carrying it along. I'm telling you, not every friend is good for you. Not every relationship is good for us. I don't know about you, but I've allowed some relationships in my life that did not help me in the progress of following Jesus. They did not help me in this race following Jesus. In fact, they hindered my progress. They weren't good for me, and I didn't see it, but I picked it up because I wasn't asking God about that. I'm just like, oh, they're cool. They're friendly. Oh, they love Jesus. Oh, let me just bring them in my life. Before I knew it, I was lugging this weight around. Because I hadn't asked God about it, and God didn't say, yes, get involved in that relationship, and I'm carrying that relationship around. And so here we are, trying to run this race, and then I come up on another bag. Well, what's this? Oh, yeah. This is money. Oops, sorry. Money. Yeah, let me pick that bag up. Oh, yeah. Now, remember, I'm not talking about sin. Money is not sinful. What's sinful? The love of money. Say it again. The love of money is sinful, right? Money's not sinful. The love of money is. But you know that money can become a weight? It may not be a sin in your life, but it's a weight that you're carrying around. I got to go to my notes for this because God gave me some good stuff on this one. See, here's the thing about money. We need money, don't we? We do. We need money. I mean, we need money to take care of our families. We need money to put food on the table. We need money to have a roof over our head. We need money. I don't know about you, but I don't have free rent. I don't get free rent. Do you? I don't know about you, but I just don't get free food all the time, do you? And sometimes people are good, and sometimes people are a blessing and help. Like, I've been blessed before, I'm sure you have too, but I need money. I got to make that car payment. I got to make that house payment. I got to take care of those things, so I have to have money to do that. And that's one of the problems with this, is that we have to have money to survive and to live in this life. We have to have it, and so it can become a sin, yes, but before it becomes a sin, sometimes it can become a weight. Because we need money for things, but we don't need to have everything. Come on, y'all. Said we need money for things, but sometimes the pursuit of money and all the distractions that come with the pursuit of money can become a heavy weight that we're carrying around. Yeah, we need a roof over our heads, and we need food on the table, and we need to take care of our kids and make sure they have clothes to wear and stuff for school and all of that, but sometimes we may not need that boat that we got. We may not need those toys that we have. We may not need that extra stuff that we have, but we want it. And so we start working extra hours, and we start putting in that overtime shift, and we start taking that second job, and we start looking at ways that we can get more money so that we can make things work that we want in our lives. And before you know it, it may not be a sin yet, but it's become a weight that slows us down. So now I'm in a relationship I shouldn't be in, and I'm carrying around this big bag of weight of money that I shouldn't be carrying around. And then I come up on this next one. I'm like, this looks good. Oh, yeah. What do we got here? Oh, I love baseball. Yes. This is a big bag of activities. Hold on. Yeah. Activities. How many of you guys like activities? Huh? Anybody like activities? Anybody like baseball? I see somebody I used to play baseball with all the time. Tom Seppo's here today. I see Tom. I know he likes this right here. He's got a whole family of good baseball players. Activities. Nothing's wrong or sinful with activities, right? Many of the activities we do, there's nothing wrong or sinful about them, but they can become a weight in our lives. I love a lot of the activities like vacations. How many of you like a vacation, a good vacation? Yeah, we need vacations, don't we? Vacations are good. There's nothing wrong with a good vacation or weekend trips. Don't you like it sometimes when you just get away for the weekend, a nice weekend trip somewhere? Isn't that great? Or sports or camping. How many of you like to camp? Come on, summer's coming. Where are all the campers? Fishing. How many like to fish? Where are the hunters in the room? The hunters, yeah. Shoot them dead. Yeah, hunting. Riding ATVs. How many like riding? I'm about to go on an ATV trip in a month or so, I hope. Praise Jesus. If the Lord doesn't come, I'm going on it. I'm going to ride in the mountains of West Virginia and hope I don't fall off a mountain. But if I do, I'm going to see Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? Riding an ATV one minute, next minute, hey, Jesus. Well, what happened was I didn't see that turn. And here I am. And we like shopping. How about the shoppers in the room? Come on. Some of you didn't were silent until now. Now you're like, whoop! Come on, shopping. You love to shop. Yes, you do. Yeah, there we go. I know you do. Did you get that shirt? I know you love to shop. Gaming. How about gaming? All right, and where are all the social media junkies? Where are they at? Social media junkies. You know, there's some in the room. You're just quiet right now. You're just loud on social media. You're not loud in person. Did I say that? Did I? You know it's true. That's why you're laughing. I'm not going to say that. No. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He stopped me. He stopped me and said, you're about to put your foot in your mouth so bad. Shut up, Bill. Shut up. See, there's nothing wrong with these things. They can be very healthy in our lives, and they can be good for our lives. I mean, like I said, we need a good vacation. Vacations can be healthy and good for us, and all of these things can be good, but then they can become a weight. They can become a weight. You're taking that vacation, and every time, every year, it's got to be bigger and grander. It's got to be, more. Every time, it's got to be a better vacation. It's got to be bigger. Or those weekend trips, yeah, those are good every once in a while, but then they turn into every other weekend, and before you know it, it's taking you away from the body of Christ and the connection with the body, and before you know it, you don't have a connection with the body of Christ anymore, because every other weekend you're gone, and on the weekends you're home, you're just tired. Or those sporting events, they're great. I love sports. But you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have practices on Wednesday night or on Sundays. They didn't have games on Sunday mornings. They didn't have games on Wednesday nights because they knew people were going to be in church. But these days, they don't care. Sunday morning tournaments every weekend. And before you know it, those sports, those activities become a weight that you're carrying around that pull you away from Jesus. They hinder you. They weigh you down. You're carrying all this weight around. You're in a relationship that you never asked God about. You're carrying around money and you're chasing it because you want those bigger and better things and you're in these activities all the time. And before you know it, you're so weighed down. And we're breathing heavy. And we're like, why is this so hard? Y'all, I've been a minister now for just over 25 years. I've counseled a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people about their relationship with Jesus. And most of the time when I'm in a conversation with people about their relationship with Jesus, one of the things I hear all the time is, man, I have a hard time reading my Bible. I have a hard time staying consistent in the Word. I have a hard time staying consistent in prayer. I have a hard time staying consistent in faith. What do you think's preventing us from running this race so well? What do you think's hindering us from doing it? It's all the weights that we're carrying around. Yeah, we're doing a good job. We're doing a pretty good job of not sinning. You know, we're trying to follow Jesus and with a passionate heart, and we're not letting ourselves get tripped up in those sins. But what we are doing is we're carrying around weights that slow us down. It doesn't have to be sin to slow you down. I want to say this before I move on to the next one, the final one. Even serving in the church can become a weight. Did you hear me? I said even serving in the church can become a weight. I've seen it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We need volunteers here at the River. Did you hear me? Welcome center's open after service today. Sign up. We need volunteers, but only sign up if you don't have anything else on your plate here at the church. I said, only sign up if that's what the Lord's telling you to do, if that's what He's leading you to do. Only sign up to volunteer if that's what God's saying your position is and your gifting is in the church. But I've seen it so many times in the church that people get involved in the church and they give their hearts to Jesus. Remember, cross the crown. We start this journey and we're traveling along and then we pick up these weights. And one of the weights can become doing too much and not just being a follower of Jesus. We say it all the time around here. We'd rather you be a follower of Jesus than do things. It's a be-do, not a do-be. Be a be-do, not a do-be, okay? Be a follower of Jesus and then do things for Him. Don't come into the kingdom and then just all of a sudden try to do things. Get involved in the church. That's not what this journey is about. This journey is about being a follower, and then God will give you what He wants you to be involved in. See, people all the time, man, we need help in the nursery. Who doesn't? What church doesn't need help in the nursery? We need help in the kids' wing. Who doesn't, right? And so they go and sign up because they just want to help out, and that's great. I love your heart that you want to help out, but is that what God told you to do? Are you good with children? Do you like children? Because we've had some people that signed up that didn't. But they just wanted to help, and they had a good heart, but that's not what God told them to do. So guess what? They picked up a weight, and they started carrying it around. And the first few weeks, it was good, but then it became heavier and heavier. And before you know it, they were complaining, and they were just so miserable. And they're like, man, I'm a terrible Christian because I hate kids. And you could almost see it, man. They're sweating when they come in. They're so weighed down. I'm like, hey, do you want a break from serving in the kids' ministry? Oh, thank you, Jesus, yes. I thought you'd never ask. This must be from God. Don't pick up a weight that God didn't tell you to take on. Because if Jesus told you to take it on, it won't be a weight at all. It won't slow you down. In fact, it will help you on your journey. It will propel you toward him. All right, so we come up on this last one. Hey, come on, either clap or don't, all right? Don't patty cake, let's go. There you go, all right. Patty cake, bakers, man. All right, I got to finish this up because I'm getting hot right now. So these others are just props. This is my last one, okay? I know you guys are looking at this like, man, he's got three more points. We're going to be here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. I am done. So we come up on this last one. Let me see. Hold on. Careful. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What is this? Ha-ha. Oh. Hey, Tom. That head is shiny. No, this is not a backpack full of bird watching. This is a backpack of comparison. Woo! Yeah, I'm about to step in it right now. Comparison. Just imagine, if you will, I'm carrying this right now, okay? I'm just going to leave that right there, okay? Because I cannot do that. Okay, I'll do it. All right, here we go. I can do it. Yeah, comparison. Now, I know all of these things can turn into sin, right? We can be in sinful relationships, and we can love money. Right now, all I'm talking about is we like it a little too much. We could love money. It could be sin. And we could be involved in activities that completely pull us away from God and become sinful. And comparison can become a sin as well. But most people, including Christians, are carrying a heavy weight of comparison. It is not sin right now, but it can become sin, and it weighs us down so terribly. This comparison is something that most of us are involved in and we don't even realize it. It's something that most of us are going through and we don't even realize it. It becomes a heavy weight, and like the rest of these weights, it hinders our progress. Oh, come on, y'all. Cross the crown. We're on this journey. We pick up this backpack of comparison. And who are we supposed to keep our eyes on? Jesus. But instead, we're just, ooh, what's he doing? Oh, wow. Man, he's doing this better than I am. Wow, he looks way better than I do. Ooh, look at those shoes. I got to buy me a pair of those. Man, oh man, she's so holy. Oh, I mean, look at her worshiping, how she worships the Lord. That's amazing, and I could never worship like that. But I want to. I wish I could be like that. Oh man, we're just comparing ourselves. Oh, look at his ministry. Wow, look how he preaches. Wow, look at the illustrations he has. They're so amazing. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Just joking. Oh, man. I wish I could do that. Come on, y'all. I grew up in the Pentecostal church. And one of the things that just blew my mind is how every preacher tried to be like the other preacher. Come on. Their style, right? I knew preachers. I'm not picking on preachers. I am one, so, you know, if I am, it's... But their style, I knew preachers that you'd talk to them out of the pulpit, you know, and I knew this one guy, just the greatest guy. He's such a great guy. Just love the Lord. Good old boy from Alabama. Well, Bill, just love the Lord, Bill, you know, yeah. You know, and then he gets in the pulpit and he says, "The Lord God said..." Like his voice changed. Like, and I was young in the Lord, and I'm like, is that what happens when you become a preacher? Like, when you're talking to people just normally, it's just normal, and then you get up, and all of a sudden, it's like such an anointing that my voice changes. You know, I'm talking to him just down in, you know, in the hallway, he's like, well, the Lord God said, you know, like that, and then gets on the platform, Gott said. Like, I was like, wait, his name changed. It's not God, it's Gott. Seriously. He's a good guy. Love the Lord. But what do you think causes some of these things to happen? Comparison. I mean, do you find yourself looking at other people's lives and thinking to yourself, how do they have it all together? How are they holding it together? How are they doing what they're doing? Man, I just want to be like that. I see how they, what's going on in their lives. I see how they live. I see what they do. Man, it's not bad to want to pursue righteousness and holiness, but it's not looking at other people that's going to get us there. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. If we keep looking around, you know the one thing about it when you're looking at binoculars? I just got to say to Kim, thank you for this and the illustration. I was going to bring a mirror up here. She said, no, you need binoculars. And boy, Holy Spirit just started zinging some things into me. You know one thing when you're looking through binoculars, how many of you have looked through binoculars before? It's impossible to walk like this looking through binoculars. You know what I'm saying? You got to turn them this way. And even then, wait, hold on. I can only look through one. And even then, you're like a mile away right now. It's impossible. It's impossible to walk normally looking through binoculars. I really cannot see what's in front of me right now, okay? So if we're trying to follow Jesus, we shouldn't need binoculars. Ooh, this is good. Come on. We shouldn't need binoculars. We should be so close to him that we can smell him. He's right there. We don't need binoculars. If we got a set of binoculars in our hands, it's because we're looking at all the other people and how they're doing it. And we start asking questions like, why am I so far behind? Why do they get all the breaks? When will my life look like that? Or just say stuff like, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. Guess what? God doesn't want you to be like them. If God wanted you to be like them, he would have created you like them. He didn't create you like them because he wanted you to be you. Unique. Special. You're one of a kind. You were created in his image to be like you. He created you to be you. Look at somebody say that right now. He created you to be you. Let me give you a quote here. This is from Ann Vaskamp. She's a Christian author. And she said this. She said, comparison is a thug that robs your joy. But it's even more than that. Comparison makes you a thug who beats down somebody or your soul. Scales always lie. They don't make a scale that ever told the truth about value, about worth, about significance. And the thing about measuring sticks, girl, measuring sticks try to rank some people as big and some people as small, but we aren't sizes, we are souls. There are no better people or worse people. There are only God-made souls. There is no point trying to size people up, no point trying to compare, because souls defy measuring. Come on, isn't that good? When we carry around comparison, when we compare, essentially, we're telling God that what he created wasn't good enough. When we're carrying around comparison and we're constantly looking at other people, then we're telling God what you did here isn't good enough. We've got to get rid of comparison. It's a weight that will slow us down and hinder us on this race. Let me give you one more quote. Jenny Laban said this. She said, I am the me that God designed. He didn't make me on accident, and he didn't form me with some special societal mold in mind that he was trying to measure up to. He is infinitely creative and brilliant. Every time God creates, he does so with intention. He utilized an equal and exact amount of creativity when he made you and every other person on this planet. When we choose to compare ourselves with others around us and the fictitious women that we see in the magazine, we aren't only making life harder on ourselves, we are telling God that he didn't do a good enough job. Wow. That's a heavy weight. That's a heavy weight. The weight of comparison will slow us down just like the rest of these. It'll hinder our race. And whether it's relationships or money or activities or comparison or a number of other things on this journey, I could have gone all day long with examples. These things can begin to pull us down, hinder our race, compromise our purpose and our calling in Jesus Christ. From cross to crown, we have to run this race with endurance and strip off every weight that slows us down. Strip off every weight. Get rid of every weight, because these weights will hinder us from following Jesus like he designed us to follow him. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I already told you, keep our eyes on Jesus. Just keep our eyes on Jesus. Throw off every weight. Throw off every weight. Amen? That's all right, you can clap. Go ahead. Throw off every weight. Throw off every weight. See, sometimes we're so focused on sin. Sin, sin, sin. Do you know the enemy? He wants you to get trapped and entangled in sin. He wants that. I mean, that's his mission, right? It's to trap us and entangle us in sin and destroy us. He wants us to do that. But if he can't get us tripped up in sin, he's perfectly fine to just weigh us down with things that we shouldn't be carrying on this race. We're so weighed down that we can't even see others that need us. We're so weighed down that we can't reach out. I mean, you saw me just a moment ago. I was so weighed down, I couldn't even read my notes hardly. I can't help other people because I have so many weights on me. They may not be sin, but they're hindering me on this race. Again, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. I just love that. Have you noticed that? Listen to what Jesus is saying here. Listen to what God's saying in his word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. All of these men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith, all of these men and women are in heaven. They're looking over the balcony of heaven. We're surrounded by them. They're cheering us on to follow Jesus. They're saying, you can do it. You can do it, Rodney. You can do it, Penny. You can do it, Brenda. You can do it, Mike. You can do this. You can go. You can run. You can make it. Cross the crown. It's right there. Keep running. Keep going. Throw off every weight that hinders you. You can do it. It's a huge crowd of witnesses cheering you on. So strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Listen, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who what? Who initiates and what? Perfects our faith. Cross, come on, y'all. He initiated it. Cross, he initiated our faith. Crown, he perfects it. Come on, y'all. Cross the crown. He initiates and perfects our faith. We're just in the process right now. We're in the process of faith right now. We're on this journey of faith. And on the journey of faith, sometimes things are going to get in our way, and we just need to step around those things. Lord, do you want me to pick that up? Nope. Okay. Just step right around it. Keep on going. Keep our eyes on Jesus.